Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mary Blake Show, and we have a real treat for you today. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be a 13th generation spiritual healer, a druidic practitioner working with over 50 different modalities? Well, best-selling author Jesse Ann Nichols George is perhaps the only person who can answer that, and she's here with us today. Her work opens a personal portal, enabling her clients to discover how they best function, align with the divine, and keep that higher energy flowing in their lives. Listen in, and maybe we can learn how she uses the code interpretation and all the other fields of studies that she's mastered to help people create beyond amazing lives. And Jesse, I'm so happy to have you here.
Mary, it's absolutely wonderful to be here with you today. Pleasure.
And I guess I want to start out by asking you, growing up, knowing you were in a 13th generation of spiritual healers, what was that like?
Well, it's kind of interesting, Mary, because I didn't uncover that actually until more recently that
You're
we
kidding.
Had that kind of lineage. I knew growing up that one of my grandfathers did spiritual healing and spiritual advising work, and he did it through
uh-huh.
the church. So,
I see.
I mean, he would tell people, like, okay, you light a candle at this time of day. It'll be a white candle, and I want you to focus on this and do this, and I'm going to do the same thing at my end. And so he actually got away with it in his time, which was pretty amazing back then.
he must have been very adept.
Very creative, very adept, definitely had that wisdom piece there. And over the last few years, as my sister was doing some genealogy work and I started looking into some things, and I started uncovering all of these pieces, that not only did we have that side of the family, but the other side of the family had the druidic energy. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Because that was one of the areas that I studied and I was very drawn to naturally, working with nature and the seasons and the cycles and rocks and plants and all of those great things. And then in that process, I also found out that we had a relative that was the lead for the team of 13 that stepped in to translate the Bible. That was 13 scholars who translated the Bible. And for the, he was a Hebrew scholar. So it's a very eclectic. I'm sorry?
Was that back in the Council of Nicaea?
Probably about then.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very interesting to find out these dynamics, because in my direct family, there was acceptance of intuition, acceptance of seeing things or having dreams and knowing things, but there was no real fostering of it. There was no proactive showing me anything, so I still had to go out and find all my own teachers, and I still
I think that's a good thing anyway. You mm-hmm. found your own way. That's great.
Yes, and I was very blessed between following my own lead and finding some great hidden teachers who enjoyed being hidden. And I thought, now there's some true wisdom right there. Those are the true teachers right there. They're not out there doing some big publicity thing. You know, you can't find them easily. And they take on whoever they feel like taking on. They don't just naturally take on students because somebody wants to learn from them. And
right.
I had about two or three of them that said, you are going to study with me. And I thought, why me? But it was very interesting, and it brought a very, very eclectic blend and very insightful blend of energies.
That's marvelous. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know, none of us know it has all the pieces. We have bits and pieces, and we put them together. And sometimes when we share the pieces that we've got, we come up with a fantastic new inspiration. So I love what you're doing, what you're telling me.
Well, and it's very true, and you have to follow those guides and those instincts. And it's so interesting, Mary, that we would connect at this time where I'm at in this journey, because I'm based in Sioux Falls, South Dakota right now, but I'm in Colorado, not far from Denver. And I had this little opening of time in between helping family with things. And I said, you know, what is the possibility now, something I thought I couldn't attend, I'm going to be able to attend, which is the International New Age Trade Show that's happening this upcoming weekend in Denver.
Oh, great.
And what's so interesting about that is when I first started out on my journey and I was first doing meditational work and visionary work and things like that and working with crystals, some of the first people that I picked up were, for example, Stephen Halpern, his music, Kotaro, people like this, and there were a couple of other big people into the visualization industry at that time. Well, I just found out when I was contacting the trade show about attending, because they're particular who attends, and I, you know, was not able to line up the speaker venue this time around, but I said, you know, I'm going to go. Well, 25 to 30 years ago was the second year they did this event. I came when I had a retail store, which is a metaphysical store in Cambria, California, and I met Stephen Halpern in person. So it was very interesting. A few years back, I got to interview him on my radio show, and now here I am coming again, and I'm going to be able to reconnect probably with him and Kotaro and all these people that I haven't seen in like 25 years that have been such a big part of my path. So it was so synergistic, I felt, when I used to
play their music in my spiritual development classes, you know.
Yeah.
It helped me to go into trance, you know.
And it is amazing, those synergies that we experience. I had a jewelry artist that was also at that show, and I was wearing a piece that I had custom designed by her many years ago. And she took one look at that piece, and she goes, I know that piece. I go, I know, you created it. She goes, yeah. She goes, I will never, ever forget that piece.
Wow. So it was a special piece to her.
Yes, it was. It was a very special creation that she did, and she found it very interesting, the components that I wanted in it and everything. So, So I'm so happy to be here sharing this, because our journeys, we don't always know. And I think that's the thing. We don't always know when we first connect with somebody or we first appear someplace, where that's going to lead and how that's going to reconnect in our lives so many years down the line. And I think it brings a very valuable point that everything is important. Every moment, no matter how mundane it seems or how grand it seems, can be life-changing.
And you are reconnecting with them on a different level in both of your journeys, which is fascinating, don't you think?
Very much so. Very much so. It's I'm excited to go, and I think that's a good thing, because in Sioux Falls there's not a huge spiritual community, let's say, there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're a little more into hunting and other things than spiritual development. And so, and that's okay.
Well, you've got to start somewhere.
Yeah, somebody's got to be the pioneer, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting to be in that environment where there are so many high vibrational people in one place.
Yeah, and this this event may propel some of them upward into the next level of their next stage of development. Who knows what may come of this.
Yes. I'm greatly looking forward to seeing who's showing up and what the pulse is that's happening from that angle right now.
And what I'm getting is that even though you're not on the stage, you will be doing something. You will be contributing there. And I think you may change about 3 different people's lives, okay?
I think so, and my focus is to be open to whatever happens from this process. I've had somebody tell me that I need to be attending this show for probably 2 years now, and I wasn't able to attend the last 2 years, even though it was on my mind. And, again, this opportunity opened up, and I took it since I had let it go and released it, and it kept coming back. I took it as a sign that you need to be there for some reason. There's some reason you need to be there. So, yes, that connecting on different levels, I think the networking, I think that there are lives. I don't think I'm going to be able to avoid talking in some shape or manner while I'm there. I think I'm going to be called to do something as well. I just don't know exactly what it is yet.
That's really exciting. I would like for you to tell a little bit more about how you progressed and how you went from one thing to another and where you are now. I'm just fascinated.
It's an interesting journey, and I think it's that blend between being proactive a little bit in wanting to know things. When I was growing up, I didn't realize that I was really different from other people. And even though we have that one connection, I could see where my interests, my preferences, maybe the things that I was into was not what everybody else was into. I didn't realize people didn't dream in color. I didn't realize that wasn't the case for everybody, that they didn't dream in color like it was real life. And I got a big awakening when I think I was in junior high or high school and people are like, "You dream in color? What's that?" And they go, "You mean like cartoons?" And I go, "No, like real life, like you're living it." And they're all kind of like, "You're weird, you know?" And so I think I got a little
the same thing. I was old weird Mary.
And I was having early in my life, like 3 years old, I remember having premonitions. And for me, it was kind of a survival technique to learn, because I thought, well, I want to understand what this is and what it's about. And two, obviously I have some sort of power coming through me, but I feel like I need to understand how to use it. And I think like a lot of people, I initially went through that power focus when I was young, which a lot of us do, right? When we're teenagers in our young 20s and we want to own the world and we want to be all powerful. And so I was there too at one point. And in time, I just kept adding. And I think for me, what it was I just took the pieces, one, as they came to me, and two, as I had a really strong interest, like astrology, crystals, gemstones were probably some of the first things I picked up. When we would go on family trips, I would look at all the stuff in the gift store, and I'd walk over and I'd pick up a rock. I want the polished rock. Uh-huh. I want the Apache tear pendant. That's what I wanted. And, to this day, I still have one of those Apache tiered pendants that I got when I was 7 years old. And it's been very, very much a gift to me. So there's little things like that, and that's where I started. And I allowed things to keep coming in, and I kept exploring, and I kept opening, and I kept learning. And as I moved into more recent years of my life, after going through many experiences, from near-death experiences to you name it, I've got 1,000 stories there. People are like, just write a book someday about your life stories. That'll be really good. several near-death experiences, struggling with that power, struggling with that energy. But in more recent years, where it's shifted to is synthesizing the pieces and realizing that I have a real gift for putting pieces together and seeing patterns in things and understanding how things connect together and the overlap and the diversity of them. So that has opened me up to some other avenues. I've studied the numerology, all the different pieces I'm using, I studied along the way. But as I moved into the coding interpretation and doing this work, which I'm now actually shifting to calling code discovery, I had somebody recently say, this is, you know, I feel like this is a discovery process for me. And I think they're very accurate about that because it is about self-discovery in a lot of ways. And it is about opening the doors and knowing the truth. And I'm simply an interpreter of that, basically. And a couple of years back, I had a connection that dealt a lot in names and astrology and numerology. Sharita Starr, she's really, really a wonderful person. And, you know, I thought there's something here to what she's doing. There's more than once I'd had this name piece come up, and I said to myself, I got to explore that. I got to get into that a little bit more and see where it is. But none of the traditional ways of numerology and things were quite clicking in for me. They would hit part of the time, but not in the accuracy, integrity level that I wanted them to be in. And so I just kept letting it unflow organically. And it was actually about a little over a year ago. And about a year and a half ago, I started doing some stronger work and started, all of a sudden these pieces started downloading and how to put them together. And I thought, oh, well, that's different than what everybody else is doing. That's going to bug the system a little bit. And I've been good at that in my life, bugging the system, being different.
Yeah.
And as I opened to what the information was that I was receiving, the name pieces and things started to kick in, and I started working on cold crime cases for a police department. And
wait a minute, what do you mean by name pieces?
Name pieces, the names all have vibrational energy to them. And most people will work with them from various numerological aspects or, you know, life path, soul destiny, these types of things. And for me, I was seeing other things. You know, one of the pieces that Sharita really works strongly with is the kind of anagram aspect of shifting letters around, and she's got a whole book out on that called What's in a Name? And she, a lot of her work is based off of Linda Goodman. And yet, when I just did the anagram thing, it wasn't clicking together completely for me. And so when I work with people, I do use a name as a foundation, but then it's this blend between all these different tools of anagrams and numerology and runic currents and all kinds of things that come together and blend with my own intuitive abilities. And then it opens up, and I literally can just read scenarios out of things. I can sit and I can focus in and I can get complete answers. I can look at the way patterns are flowing in somebody's field and their energy and the vibrational energy that they've incarnated on through that. Mm-hmm. And the name gives me a way to focus for that. So it gives me a visual, let's say, in a sense, to focus my physical eyes on in that process. And it throws me in
It helps, doesn't it, to get a focus point?
Yeah, it helps to have that focus point, and then my eyes I just go into a meditational state of things, and then I get visions that play through my head that show me things, and then I combine that with some of the technical pieces and see what is there and what comes up. And the person I was working with at the police department comes back, and they're kind of, the police are going, where did you get this information from? you know, we just gave you a name. Where did you get this information from? And I go, well, to me, it's just it's right there. It's clear as day when I look at the name. That's what I see. And they came back to me and they said, no, you don't understand. That information was not only publicly released, as in you can't find it on a search engine anywhere. That's not even released fully internally. So do you want to tell us where you got that piece of information from? Because now they're thinking...
all of a sudden you're a suspect. Okay.
I'm looking pretty suspicious to these people, right?
Yeah.
And, and I'm looking over my shoulder going, oh, my God, who's after me? Because I know the government and people don't always play real fair, and I have real-life personal experiences related to that. But it just... you know, I came back, I said, well, I see it. That's what I see. When I look at the name, it completely shows me all of this. And so they were kind of, I think, surprised at things and how they came up. And then that led me to just keep opening the doors and realizing how truthful working with what I call codes is. And that is really our portal of energy. It gives us that opportunity.
You do have to be convinced, don't you? We have to be convinced that we're doing it right. Otherwise, you can doubt your own self.
I think that's true. Particularly once you're started on something, you need some of those affirmations so that you have some guideposts that allow you just to get that validation, to see it working in motion. So, yes, I think that's important, definitely.
So you drove the police crazy, huh?
I drove the police crazy, and I was hitting my own set of challenges along the way following that, and it opened some doors where I said, okay, I know there's something to this, and I know I haven't completely clicked in. And about the time I said that, which was 13 months ago, 13 months ago, almost to this day, as a matter
I have
of fact,
to tell you, 13 is my lucky number, so keep throwing it at me.
I was born on a Friday the 13th. How's that?
I love it. It's my lucky day.
It's my lucky day, too. So,
tell me, what happened 13 years ago that just brought it all into focus?
13 months ago that brought this all into focus, pretty much everything collapsed out on me completely.
Oh,
I had a cat that I was traveling with. I was touring the country full time. So I was a resident of South Dakota, but I had never spent any time there. And we were going one and a half trips around the U.S. together. And this is a cat I rescued from going over a waterfall prior to that, which would now be 2 years, 2 years ago, I think it is, from in about a week. It would be about 2 years from now. And so she passed away of kidney failure, and she was the brightest shining star. I mean, this cat, biker dudes had to stop and get their picture taken with her. Like, everywhere we went, the Harley guys, the Hells Angels guys, they all had to stop and take their picture with my cat because they just thought she was the coolest cat. It was hilarious. Everywhere she, like, literally would not touch an ant, but she would hike all day long with me on trails, and we'd do all kinds of work together. And she really was the key. So when she passed away, and my mom was in the process of passing away, which would be she passed away 11 months ago. Everything was crashing out. My venues all year long had crashed out. The work I had from the road, they just suddenly said, we're not going to use you anymore. I mean, everything had crashed out in a matter of a 2-month period, basically. And it was the strangest year. And I was like, okay, I have to sit down, get based. I went back to Sioux Falls. I said, if I have to land someplace, I have to go back there because that's where my residency is. And so I did, and I said, well, I know these codes work for everybody else, so I'm going to really put them in motion in my life, and I'm going to see what happens. And I did. And in 1 week, I had three offers on the table for work of things.
Really?
It just started unfolding. And I started reflecting. I bring the cat up because her name was Orly, which means gift of light. And I started reflecting on our journeys and everything and the way she was and her behavior, because I was still kind of in trauma from that when I went back to Sioux Falls a year ago. And it was just amazing as I reflected back. She was holding all those missing pieces about the codes for me. And as I reflected on every journey and I thought about things, I started looking at those places and the scenery in those places, and I started finding out that every place she was joyous and happy and relaxed and energized were the places that were favorably coded for me. And the places she was disturbed and unsettled were places that were unfavorably coded for me. And so that's where it really kind of started coming together strongly for me. And then as I started sharing these and I started doing the work, it's just been a cascading set of things that is just gotten better and better and better, and more and more people are finding out about it.
It's been unfolding magically.
Magically unfolding, and I keep working with my codes more and more. I implement it in everything. And now I don't, you know, there's no question to it. And I think that's the thing, on any path you walk down, you hit a point after you've gotten a little bit of validation along the way that you're on track, that you don't have to question it. It's like now I just look at the codes of something and it's like I don't even need to question whether that's going to work or not work. It tells me the truth of anything. So I don't have to question it.
How do you find the codes? How do you find the codes? How do you tap into that?
Again, I start with somebody's name, and then I start to look at different energy flows and cycles and patterns that people go through. And from there, I start to pull vibrational energies as well and see how those vibrational energies are connecting with things like runic cycle patterns that are in their life. And then I get a base of what their foundational energy is about. And this is really cool, because if somebody has done a legal name change along the way, then where normal astrology can't help them sometimes, like people who maybe don't know their birth date, I don't need a birth date with this. They can still find out about themselves. And from there, once I know the base energy, I know the energy codes and patterns that I need to bring into place to, you know, that will either feed or inhibit that energy that they naturally have. And so
Can I ask you something? You mentioned legal name changes. What happens when a woman gets married and changes her last name? And suppose she gets married two or three times.
Right. So Europeans don't really bother with changing their names, which is why we don't have some of the high divorce rates like in Sweden and places like that, where they don't change their name. But in America, it's very common, for example, a woman to change their name. In the Baha'i faith, the men change their name legally to the woman's last name. So when we get that, I don't worry about, you know, if they've been married three or four times, it's only the current legal name. And I actually help people find new names as well. I help them find names that are vibrationally favorable for them as well. I mean, literally limitless in what I can explore and assist somebody with in these codes. But oftentimes we hear the longer time we have a name, where we've done a legal name change, and there's something about that legal aspect because that really locks in a lot of things into our energy code. And I have a feeling because that deals with all of the government pieces, that deals with our connection in the world so strongly, and our name is used on everything, you know, from our credit cards, our phone bills, everything. So there's a high volume of that energy affecting us in things. And there's a lot of people that don't agree with me on that. I'll say that right up front. They do not agree with the name change having influence. But we see this oftentimes in marriages where people will go, well, this person is not the same person I married. No, they're not. They changed their name. They changed their vibration. And they're not the same person you married. And maybe you're more compatible or less compatible as a result of that. You know, and so yeah, definitely that's where the dynamics shift. And then, of course, the dynamics between those people will become different. How that person functions in the world is going to be different. I made a legal name change 10 years ago, and I'm in the process. When I get back to Sioux Falls, I will be doing another legal name change, and very minor, just dropping the N off, the second N off my middle name, and so it'll shift from Ann to On. And but the vibrational differences. For example,
I feel the vibration already. I feel it. I do. I feel it, and I feel why you want it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Something just occurred to me that in August 12th, I will have the current name that I have, married name I have, longer than I had any other name, and all the other names combined.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was already. Yeah.
So your birth name is never going to completely go away. That energy is always going to be with you. And some people go, ugh.
I know.
You're not going to get rid of that piece. But what happens is you do get more and more of a balance between that legal name and the birth name energy. So even though you've had that birth name longer, there becomes more and more influence from the legal name coming through. So the birth name doesn't weigh quite as heavy, but push comes to shove in something, the birth name energy is always going to take the precedence just because you've had it all your life.
Sure. What if you didn't like it right at the very, almost from the beginning?
Well, that's why I changed my name 10 years ago. I never felt like the name I was given originally. At birth, I was given the name Patty. And
oh, my.
It never
resonated. I cannot see you as a Patty. I just can't see you
Nobody
as a Patty.
And the only reason I wasn't, I found out in my teens I was supposed to be named Jesse, which is the name I always resonated to. And the only reason they didn't name me that was because I was a girl. And they were going to name me that after a grandfather. And
Was that the grandfather who burned candles?
Yes.
Okay.
He was a free spirit, too. He liked to go out and explore and just say, okay, we're going to take off and go to another state for a while.
Interesting. Yeah, I always hated the name Mary because being born in Southern Illinois at the time I was born, two out of three girls were named Mary, and everybody had two names, of course. There were Mary Ann and Mary Jane and Mary Jean and Mary whatever, you know. And I really wanted to be different. I just couldn't bear to be like everyone else. It was just It just upset me so badly.
Well, and isn't that interesting? Because I see that with a lot of people with the name Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason behind that is because the energy of the name Mary is a deep personal connection energy. It's not an outside world common energy. And so...
Yeah.
even though it's a very common name because of religious and belief purposes, and by the way, my parents were both from the Midwest, my dad from Illinois and my mom from Kansas. And but Mary, actually, that vibrational energy is about deep personal connection, deep self, and mm-hmm. the inner self. And so it actually creates a natural sort of conflict in the energy pattern when it's used as a first name, because uh-huh. the first name deals a lot with our outer world. It deals a lot with our connections and communications and things to other people and how other people see us. And so, it's very interesting because it is that common thing, but then at the same time, that name is all about developing your own personal processes and your own personal space.
Well, I just recently, I got sick of being one of 5,000 Mary Blakes on the internet. Nobody could find me. Even I wound up setting up more than one Facebook account because I couldn't find myself. I would find Mary Blakes from England and all over the place. So I decided that I would become the Mary Blake. So, and now everybody can find me.
It's amazing how the smallest subtleties can shift everything.
It's true.
Like I said, it can even be a single letter can completely change mm-hmm. the vibration, the change I'm getting ready to make, for example, removes me out of a pattern that draws in people who are controlling and mm-hmm. want to silence mm-hmm. me, to uh-huh. moving me into a very heart-centered energy that is very stable and very balanced in its
Ooh,
ways.
That's good.
Very mm-hmm. harmonized.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, but we've kind of veered away from your code interpreting and things. I'm just, I can't help but be fascinated because, honestly, you're the very first person I've spoken with who does the code interpretation. I mean, is it fairly new? Is it something that is opening a new arena for us to work with?
I'm the only one who does this that I know of, and I have not had anybody come to me and say, I know somebody else is doing something very, very similar to what you're doing. Never had that. So mm-hmm. this is something that opens. This is something that is personally in my codes to do. And I think that's really the key. Even if we launch from other foundations, nothing's 100% new, if you want to say that. But even if we launch from the other foundations, it's really about making it our own piece, our own twist on something in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we do that, it's about the unlocking of ourselves to ourselves or to our whole or to the divine alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, I think, the process behind the codes is you probably aren't going to find anybody else who does this. I do see some other people working with some codes. They're working with things that are very similar to the Grabori code system, and there are more and more things coming out about codes. So for me, the codes are really, they're kind of like a program that we run on. They're a set of circumstances or energy vibrations that we have chosen to incarnate through, and even though consciously we'd said, oh my gosh, why would I ever choose these kind of challenges? And to, as you experienced, to a certain extent, our parents had some influence in that and maybe overrid something mm-hmm. or overrode something in that process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we can feel out of sync sometimes when we're operating on a vibration that we know isn't really us. And that's the type of thing where the name changes can be a benefit to people. I always encourage people, don't use the name change to run away from things, because you're never going to really avoid what you're here to learn. But
yeah.
you know, use it
to always need
to go
run towards something instead of away from.
Right. Use it to go towards your wholeness. And
mm-hmm.
and that's, I think that's the big key. But I think we are going to see more and more things. We're seeing this, well, Maaf Sajati's work is kind of code-based, and, you know, some of the others out there are kind of code-based in that sense. Master Matthew Klein is doing some work on more the healing. They work more on the healing side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I have started to unlock some of the healing codes. Still doing some work as far as physical healing goes in that realm, but we're seeing more of the quantum work. We're seeing more of the realizing people are starting to embrace more that everything is energy, and that's what it's
mm-hmm.
about. Everything is an energy
mm-hmm.
vibration, and either those two energy vibrations magnetize together like two magnets drawing together, or they magnetize
uh-huh.
together like the magnets flip the other way and twist.
Right.
And I like to say that, you know, when we're coded to something and we're favorably coded to it, then it's like being in that twin flame relationship. When we're unfavorably
mm-hmm.
coded to it, it's like being in the what do we call it? You know, that very addicted space. I'm drawing a blank, and I never draw a blank on that term. But,
that's okay. Don't you know when you get so right-brained, you lose words. I do. I mean, you know, it's just part of the way we work. It just shows me how true you are, and how totally you are giving yourself to this interview and this experience that we're having here and the gift that we're giving the world.
I am. I just go into the space. And whatever comes out, comes out. Fatal attraction is what I was looking for words.
Okay. There you go.
It there
pops
I go.
Up out of the memory bank, you know. My spirit guide calls my brain the computer. She says, I have to go through the computer to find an analogy for you or a metaphor or whatever. Because she says, you know, where I spend most of my time, we don't use words. We just zap people, you know. That makes perfect sense
exactly.
to me.
Exactly. And I think that's where we've seen some of the incoming generations. They're not used to all these terminology, and words don't really mean anything to them. You've got a huge amount of
uh-huh.
kids that are autistic and dyslexic, and, you know, nothing wrong with that. Most of them are geniuses, but,
yeah,
you know, words just mean nothing to them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They'll look at you and say, so? You say, do you mean this? You go, well, so? You know? It's okay.
Exactly.
It is fascinating. I never thought of it that way, but I see exactly what you mean.
Mhm.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to bring these things into everyday life. Like when I do a foundational interpretation for somebody, and that's where I start. I have foundational interpretations, and then we can delve into, you know, various areas, whether that's related to health areas or relationships or jobs or careers or name changes or whatever it is. You know, I've coded CD albums. I've coded international best-selling books. I've coded spiritual tours. I've coded up websites
wow.
for practitioners, all kinds of
uh-huh.
things for people to bring in that alignment. But in the foundational pieces, there's very simple things like come back to working with directions. Elements,
mm-hmm.
numbers,
mm-hmm.
angels, archangels, and we have code connections to all of these things. Totem animals are pieces that are in the foundational interpretation. And
mm-hmm.
in that piece, it's really exciting because then you start to know, okay, I can even help people with feng shui by codes. You know, astrology becomes a whole different realm when you look at it from code.
Mm-hmm.
From a code perspective. And so it's you know, it's really interesting where people can then start to realize, okay, when I'm traveling for business, I need to be traveling this way, or when I'm, you know, needing to connect easily and I'm having a frustrating day, if I can just stop and think of one of my favorable numbers and put that picture in my mind, then I can make an automatic connection and get my energy shifted back into flow again and out of the challenges.
That's fascinating.
So, yeah, it's very, very interesting when we look at those pieces along the way. So, like, hills are very well coded for me, and this little spot that I found to call in today is just, I'm just surrounded by hills.
Great.
So,
great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if I could put you to work. I want to add, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
My first book was Journals of a Healer. And for about a minute and a half, I had a literary agent who said it was too long and too dense and too deep, and I needed to cut it in half and put in a lot of explanation. So I have now turned it into a two-book second edition. And the first book, is the working title is Karmic Healing. And the second book title is Karma is Not a Life Sentence. Now,
okay.
How do you feel about that? What's just off the top of your head?
A little, you know, a little hard because I don't have all of the information to work with on you. In things. Karmic healing does not code up. It may or may not be favorable energy, but it doesn't code up to you. So you don't get that personal connection to it, which is an interesting piece in there. And these are the, you know, these are some of the things that sometimes it's okay to just take the favorable connection, even if it's not fully coded, because we're better to take that favorable uncoded than we are to take the unfavorable coded, for example.
Now, what is unfavorable about it? That's really interesting.
Well, I don't know if it's unfavorable or favorable, you know, with the information I have to work with on you. But, you know, what I do know is it's not coded, from what I can tell right now. In your name, which means you just don't have that, you don't have that personal heart connection to it in there. Now, karma is something that is big for you. That is a great area, I would say, for you to be focusing on.
What if I turned it around and said healing karma?
There's slight differences. If you shift from karma to karmic, you know, there's some slight differences there. You're going to have a stronger coding with the healing karma than you are with karmic healing.
Oh, okay.
And again, I can't answer 100% because I don't have all of your information to work with.
Yeah. I've got a birthday coming up on the 22nd.
On June 22nd? Okay. So when I look at that, and sometimes I do, I will use birthdays a little bit. For example, if I'm charting out a year for somebody, sometimes we'll go by the personal year or calendar year. Everybody's different in what they want a little bit in there. But what you're entering into, what's really exciting for you right now, and I would have to, you know, again, check some things, but what's exciting is your personal year that you're entering into is going to be the start of some very flourishing times, some very successful, enlivening times for you.
It's about time.
Yeah, doesn't it feel like that? Because you've been through some ups and downs lately, and you, this past year has really been an exploration. It's been hot and cold, and it's been trying to balance the material and the spiritual world. And you've probably gone through a lot of conflict and a lot of exploration as far as what works for you and what doesn't work for you in regards to the material world and where you felt like maybe that was trying to dominate your spiritual processes, either by making you work too much or, you know, or feeling like you're having to sell out to a publisher or something like that. Those would all be examples of that. And so now you're going to be moving into the year where the work you've done is going to start paying off. And so you're going to start to see some of those results coming through. Yeah.
And I'm just getting an inspiration now, thinking about maybe I should call it Heal Your Karma. That would pull in the why in my name.
Maybe, maybe not. Again, I wouldn't completely know without knowing everything in your name. Whether that would be to your benefit, that can throw it possibly more out of code. For you.
Okay.
There could be the difference between it being coded or not.
Stick with healing karma. All right. That's fascinating.
So
this is just a tiny little thing. Of course, when you really work with people, you go so deep. I'm sure you do.
I spend no less than 6 hours on the foundational information with somebody, so it's intensive work. When I'm working with people on websites and things like that, what's really interesting is just these small adjustments in terminology can make the difference of somebody connecting with their work or not connecting with their work. I coded for the international bestseller in multiple countries, multiple times hitting international bestseller. For Embraced by the Divine, the Emerging Women's Gateway to Power, Passion, and Purpose. And I worked with Michelle on that quite a bit. And we coded out the dates for the releases. We coded out where the bestseller logo would end up on the book. We coded out the colors on the websites, the hex codes. We coded out all kinds of things on that process, and I worked with her, and I'm a collaborator. I've also contributed to that book, so it was, you know, interesting to do this on this level. And what we found is that she did a release on the ebook first, and then she did the release on the paperback. And when we released the ebook, we had already hit international bestseller in the pre-release stage.
You're kidding.
Using this
word. My goodness. Wow.
We had already hit it before it was actually released for sale.
Uh-huh. That's amazing.
So it's really exciting when I see those things. And I had somebody come to me that does a spiritual journey for women in France. And she does a trip that goes from Paris to Provence. And she came to me through somebody as a referral, and it was about 6 weeks out from her tour. And
oh,
I'm like, this is not a lot of time to work with. I can't, you know, make any guarantees, obviously, of things. But what we can focus on is that we generate enough interest that you don't have to worry about booking next year, that you will already have people ready to book for next year. And that, I think, would be the goal. And, you know, I think she did get a little bit more than what she had for that trip. It's a small trip, though. And she sent we timed out sending out a newsletter. I helped her. We totally renamed the tour 6 weeks out from from the tour. Revamped the website, the forms, and turned it around, and people were just like, wow, is this even the same trip? She was offering the same trip. We just adjusted some pictures and some terminology, and some coloring in things, and you know, and she sent this newsletter out, and I checked in with her, and it had been not even 24 hours since she sent the newsletter out. She says, you know, normally I get about 6 or 7 people click through over to my page. She says, I've had 72 people in less than 24 hours click over.
Heavens. Oh, you are amazing.
So 10 times, all because of the way something felt. All because all of a sudden the energy was aligned to her. What she was presenting was aligned to her.
That's
so
amazing.
You know, and then it went up over 200, I think it was 200-300 in under a couple of days, and people came back to her and said, "There's no way I can make it on this kind of notice, but I'm going next year." So she's pretty much already got her trip sold for next year.
Oh my goodness, that is fascinating, really fascinating. Yeah, that's so exciting. I just love it. Oh my goodness, this is not fair. We're coming to the end of the session, and I want to talk with you a couple of hours more. You know, because I hear, and I feel on top of that, I feel how much you have to give, and I'm just, and it's coming from, just totally out of left field for me because. Because, you know, I've been working since 1980, taking people into other lifetimes, and with Spirit Guide, we literally rewrite history and erase karma. And I have been struggling the whole time with a self promotional handicap here. It's almost impossible for me to walk up to people and tell them what I do. You know, it's crazy. And I know I have so much to give, and here you are, just so freely and easily explaining, and I feel that you just draw people to you and give them a whole lot more than they expected every time, too.
Absolutely, and I think the really exciting piece with the codes is people can feel it at their core that what I'm sharing with them is true. And I hear that a lot from people, that they say it's not just what you're saying, it's that I can actually feel it inside of me, that what you're telling me is true. And, you know, of course, we're never really going to get anything we don't know, but sometimes things like this can help click the pieces together where you get the aha's. And I think that's it. And as you say, with marketing and things like that, this is such a powerful piece. I've been working with people nutritionally to code up food and diet. You wonder why one thing works, the same thing works for one person and not another. Probably because of the way they're, you know, like one person can eat oats and somebody else can't. I mean, some people tolerate sugars in their body and other people don't tolerate an ounce of sugar in their body.
Absolutely. You're right. Well, listen, we haven't told people where to get in touch with you. This, shame on me.
Well, they're catching me at a very interesting time because I am revising my entire website right now. And the new website is going to be compassioncodes.com because the foundation of my work is compassion. That will be going up it'll be live in later this week. Currently, my website is jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com.
Okay.
And if they use that, it will forward over into the other one once the other one goes live. So
great. Did you want to give
an
email or a Facebook or anything?
Facebook, you can find me on Facebook. I've got my name listed as Jessie Ann, no second N on that middle name.
Got
Nichols
it.
George. And there's also a Jessie Ann Nichols George coding interpreter.
Okay.
And Activating Compassion is another one of my Facebook pages. And then I have a group which is called Spiritual Nourishment Network. So there's four places people can find me on Facebook, and that's an easy way. I'm real good about checking messages on Facebook on there. So I know my friends list is pretty much maxed out, but if somebody desperately wants to be a friend, I do hold their name until I get an opening, and then I add them in. Or you can like and follow in the meantime any of the pages. And email, that's also getting ready to transition over right now. So my new one hasn't gone live yet. But if you go to any of
the we'll just stick with what we've got. And I want to thank you so much for giving so much of yourself in this session. And just say love and light.
Love and light. Thank you so much, Mary. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Same here. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. You still there?
Yep.
I just was wondering if I could call you privately and see if there's any way we could do a little bit of something or other for each other. I'd love that. Would that be possible for you? You got a few more minutes?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll call you back very shortly.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks again, hon. Bye.